time, it's Liam speaking. There is so much venom in his voice. For the first time since I started working for him, he's my boss and not my best friend. He's angry and hostile. His face is red and his temples are throbbing. I know how he feels.
What?
I stutter. Jimmy rolls his eyes. Harrison just looks at me. Liam throws his hands up in the air and jumps out of the chair, causing Josie to fall back a bit.
The writer, Caitlin. Why did you add flowers?
I didn't.
Let me see it.
Liam stalks over, his footsteps heavy and solid. This is a different Liam. This is Liam Page, the performer, and I'm not sure I like him at the moment. I fumble through my file, looking for the writer that I faxed over before we hit the road. My file drops, spreading my papers out all over the floor. Liam sighs and starts muttering a string of curse words that bring tears to my eyes. I will not cry in front of him. I have a feeling this will be my mantra. I get down on my hands and knees and start gathering the papers. Now that they are all out of order, I'm not going to be able to find anything. My hands are shaking so bad. I hate this. Why is he suddenly being an asshole? If Mason was here, he'd kick his ass for yelling at me. Mason pushes Liam up against the locker. Josie screams before I realize what's happening. I'm grabbing Mason's arms, but to no avail. He's much too strong for me. Liam doesn't push back. He's letting Mason hold him there.
What the fuck, man?
Liam spits out.
Don't what the fuck me, you rat bastard. I saw you yell at her. She deserved it.
That comment earns Liam another slam against the locker.
Baby, come on, let him go. It's no big deal, I plead.
Did he yell at you?
Yes, but...
No buts. No one yells at you, except me.
I push Mason as hard as I can, causing him to lose his hold on Liam, who easily slips away.
What the hell? Only you can yell at me? Is that what you think, Mason Powell?
I push him again and again, my small hands beating on his chest. Mason looks over at Liam, who has his face buried in Josie's neck. I know he's laughing. I can see him shaking.
I didn't mean it like that, baby. Come on. You know I'd never yell at you.
I can't believe you were willing to beat up Liam.
Hey now, he may have had me against the locker, but there was no way he'd get the drop on me.
Mason looks at Liam and shakes his head. Me? I'm not too happy right now. I turn and walk to my locker, leaving the giant meathead standing in the hall. Mason sets his hand on my locker before I can open it.
Come on, baby,
he whispers into my ear as he gently pushes me against the closed door. I can't believe fighting turned him on. I can feel him, and as much as I want to ignore him, he brings out so much desire in me.
I'm sorry I said that stupid thing. I'll make it up to you.
How?
How do you think?
That's all I need, to think about Mason for the tears to start. I wipe furiously at my face, afraid to show weakness in this intense moment. The last thing I need is for Liam to feel guilty because I can't do my job properly.
Let me help you.
I pull my hand out from under Harrison's. I don't know when he bent down to pick up the papers, but he's staring at me, and I feel flush. I'm fine.
No, you're not. Here, Liam's looking for this.
I nod and stand, handing Liam the paper he's asked for. He shakes his head and crumbles the paper in his hand. He rolls his head, neck, and shoulders before looking at me.
I'm sorry I yelled at you. Clearly the venue fucked up.
He throws the balled-up piece of paper and storms out of the dressing room. I look wide-eyed at Josie, who chases after him. Jimmy follows, leaving just Harrison, an incredibly messy room, and me.
What was that?
Harrison clears his throat.
Liam doesn't like flowers in the dressing room. Sam did it once and he threw a fit. It has something to do with her, I think. I'm not really sure. But that's why the writer is so important.
Why? I ask. My back is still facing him. It's easier to talk this way.
Because if you had put flowers on the writer, he would have fired you.
Just like that?
Harrison appears in front of me like magic. I don't even hear him move. How can someone wearing combat boots not make any noise when they walk? He shrugs and reaches out to touch me. Why, I don't know. Maybe I have hair sticking to my face. Either way, I move before his fingers can touch me. He drops his hand and his gaze, choosing instead to look at the floor.
I'd like to think he wouldn't because he loves you, but I've never seen him rage like this either. Maybe something else set him off. It doesn't matter, though.
No? You don't think him firing me matters? I ask incredulously. My job matters to me. I have two girls to take care of and a house to keep up. I need this job.
Harrison steps closer, close enough that we are breathing the same air. So close that if I move slightly, he'll be touching me. I won't let him fire you.
This time, when he reaches out to touch me, I don't move. His fingers push my hair behind my ear, causing chills to cascade down my back. He sighs and moves away without saying anything else. I jump slightly when the door shuts, leaving me alone with my rampant thoughts on what just happened.
Chapter 7 Harrison. I touched her. She let me touch her. And I stopped. Why did I stop? I have no idea. My steps are heavy. My ears pound as I walk away from her. Every fiber in my being is telling me to go back into that room and hold her hand. The simple graze of my fingers against hers would suffice. I'm not asking for much. Although, I know I am. She's not ready. She may never be ready. Is that something I can live with? Maybe. I don't know. I've never felt this way. All I know is that touching her for that one brief moment, having her hair glide along my knuckles, and the look in her eyes when I did it, I felt like I could do anything. All because she didn't move away. She didn't look away. She stayed and allowed me one solitary piece of herself, and now that moment will burn into my memory until I can do it again. Liam is pacing when I find him. What the hell was that? I ask him. I don't like the way he spoke to Caitlin. Yes, being on tour is stressful, but this time it's supposed to be for fun. We are supposed to be showing our families what our lives are like away from home. Treating Caitlin like she did something wrong is going to make her want to quit, and I can't have that. Liam looks up at me with impatience and a self-accusing look. He shakes his head, rubbing his hands over his face before he lets out a frustrated scream. The only thing preventing everyone from hearing him is the fact that Devon is on stage performing. I can't believe I yelled at Caitlin like that. What was that? Sam, all over again. I figured, but this isn't Caitlin's fault. She doesn't know about the things Sam used to do, and if she did, she surely wouldn't do them without asking us. I know. Liam moves toward the wall and leans back. Remember that first gig we had? God, we opened the door and there they were. Every square inch was covered. I remember. What's all this? I stand behind Liam and JD, surveying the room. We knew when we signed with Marino Entertainment that we'd get the star treatment, but this may be over the top. Did we ask for this? Liam turns and looks at us. We both shake our heads. I'm a guy. Simple things amuse me. I definitely don't need a room full of roses. So many, in fact, that you can't see the furnishings. Sam thought it would be a nice touch, Mr. Marino says. He's a short, pudgy man. He sort of reminds me of a gangster, always wearing a fedora that covers his balding head. He's never without a cigar hanging out of his mouth, even though I've never actually seen him light it. He looks at Liam and winks. I don't think we like it, Liam says, and JD and I nod. I'm not a flower guy. I mean, I'll send them to my mom, but I can't say I want them stinking up my place. The room looks like a funeral home, a red one to boot. Red roses cover every available inch, leaving barely a space for us to sit down. Can we go someplace else, Mr. Marino? This isn't us, I say. Mr. Marino rubs his portly belly. But my Sam did this for you, Liam. She said you'd like it. I hear Liam sigh. He pinches the bridge of his nose and shakes his head. 4225 West doesn't need or want this. Can we please have it cleaned out or go to a different room? Mr. Marino pats Liam on the back. He doesn't pay attention to us. I mean, why should he? Liam is the talent behind the band. I'm just a lowly house band drummer that he asked to come play with him when he got signed, and J.D. joined after answering an ad in the paper. For Marino Entertainment, Liam is their prize. My Sam did this especially for you, Liam. I think you'd want to accept her gift. Mr. Marino, with all due respect to you and Sam, this room is supposed to be a place for us to relax before going out to perform. I know for me, and I'm assuming for Harrison and J.D. as well, we can't center ourselves in this room when the overpowering scent of flowers is trying to kill us. Mr. Marino chuckles, his belly bouncing up and down as his menacing laugh carries on. Liam looks at us. We both shrug. We don't know what's going on, but from the sound of Mr. Marino, we aren't going to like the result. Liam, you're young and new to all of this. It's best you let me decide what you like and don't like. Sam is merely trying to show her appreciation and make you feel comfortable. I suggest you repay her in kind. Mr. Marino walks out, leaving us in the middle of the red funeral room. There isn't any place for us to sit down, let alone hang our coats. J.D. starts walking around, pulling the cards from each bouquet. Good luck, Liam. Love, Sam. You're the best, Liam. Love, Sam. You'll be amazing, Liam. Love, Sam. Dude, did you sleep with her? I ask. Liam shakes his head. No, and maybe that's the problem. I have rebuffed her advances. I just want to keep things professional and earn our way to the top. Yeah, well, I think Sam is making it very clear that the way to the top is by shagging her, J.D. says as he drops the cards on the floor. Liam starts picking up the vases and moving them into the corner. He stacks them on top of each other, breaking the flowers underneath. J.D. and I follow, and soon enough we have a minimal amount of space to sit down. I'll take care of it. That's the last thing Liam says before we start going over the set list. We've been down this path before in the early stages, just after we signed with Marino Entertainment. Liam and I were so new to this side of the industry, we didn't know what to expect. J.D. said his dad was a total diva when it came to his dressing room, but never to this extreme. Who does that? Oh, right. Sam does, because she's completely unhinged. Caitlin is your friend, and you know better than I do, but what happened back there? You can't let her see that type of anger. She has no clue what she's done wrong. She's learning the ropes here. We hired her without any experience, so I'll take care of it. The last time Liam said that, Sam got worse. I kiss Quinn on the forehead and ruffle Noah's hair. Elle looks up at me with her big brown eyes, identical to her mother's, and smiles. Since her nightmare, she's followed me around. I'm not complaining. Any man would love to have a gorgeous brunette on his tail all the time. I wish it was her mother, but I'm not picky. I'm not sure what to do with Elle. Kissing her on the forehead is out of the question, and ruffling her hair is a boy thing, but from her expression she's expecting something. I step forward and kneel down in front of her. Are you going to watch the show?
Uh-huh, on the big TV.
Elle points to the TV that the boys are playing on. I hope that Quinn and Noah turn the game off for just a bit so the girls can watch the concert.
When I throw my drumstick in the air, that will be the sign that I'm thinking about you, okay?
I don't want to mess up your pretty hair like I did with Noah.
Don't you want to give me a kiss here?
She taps her forehead. I nod and lean in, placing a quick kiss where her finger is. She giggles, which reverberates through my heart.
What about me?
Peyton asks. I place my index finger on my upper lip and pretend to think.
when I bang my sticks together, that's when I'm thinking about you.
Whatever,
she says and gets up. Both Elle and I watch her as she sits down next to Noah, who moves slightly closer to her. She's lucky she has Noah, because right now, I think he and Liam are her favorite people.
She's so mean,
Elle whispers. She's just upset, sweetie. It will get better. I stand and leave the kids' room. I don't worry so much about Quinn, but the others aren't used to hanging out in a room for a few hours by themselves. I know Josie and Caitlin, plus our security staff, will check on them, but Peyton concerns me. If Noah isn't paying attention to her, who's to say she'll stay where she's supposed to? The crowd is loud, chanting, West! Liam and J.D. are standing at the stage opening, waiting for me. I'm always the last to arrive, never wanting to leave Quinn before I have to. I stand behind them while we watch our road crew tune our instruments, making sure everything is perfect. This is the best part, the anticipation. The crowd is getting wild because they know it's time. I find an opening in the curtain and peek out. This venue is small, an old coliseum left standing when a bigger one was built for larger capacity crowds, but perfect for small shows like ours. I thought when Liam moved to Beaumont that band life was going to be different, and honestly, I didn't want that. Yes, I wanted a more normal life for Quinn, but I wasn't willing to give up my passion. Thankfully, Liam felt the same way. I strive for this. I need this. She's behind me. I can feel her. If I lean back, we'll be touching. I wonder if she realizes how close she is to me. I'm tempted to let my hand fall to my side and seek out her fingers, if anything, just to brush ours together, to give me enough of a jolt to last me through my set. The lights go down, and that's our cue. I'm to go out first, but I'm not budging. I don't want to leave the shared space with Caitlin. Liam puts his head back and rolls his neck. He's ready. I know I must move.
Good luck, Harrison,
she says. I'm not sure how I can hear her over the crowd, but I do. I feel the smallest of pressure on my back. I turn slightly and look at her. She allows us the briefest of eye contact before turning away. That's enough to spur me into action. I brush past J.D. and Liam, who both slap me on the back, and turn left and count my steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, and turn right. Another 5, and I'm sitting on my stool. I spin once before pulling my drumsticks out of my back pocket. I hit the cymbal, and the crowd roars. Even through the darkness, I know J.D. and Liam are on stage, waiting for me to get things started. I raise my arms above my head and bang my sticks together for a count of 5. My sticks slam down on my drums, and the lights come on. The fans scream just as Liam and J.D. start their riffs. It's pure magic. My arms are sore, my t-shirt drenched in sweat. My feet kick the dozen or so water bottles that clutter the floor around my drums. The fans continue to chant, even though we've done 3 encores. I'm the last to leave the stage. I don't acknowledge the crowd the way Liam and J.D. do. I slip out as quietly as I can. I'm seconds behind the curtains when the lights come on. The groan of the crowd is loud, and I can't help but internally fist pump. Even without Marino Entertainment, we still have it. I swing open the door to the kids' room, and Quinn jumps into my arms. A piece of me will die when he's too big to do this. Right now, I wrap my arms around my boy and hug the shit out of him because he still wants this.
You were so awesome, Dad.
Thanks, buddy. I set him down, but he doesn't leave my side. He's tired. I can tell. It takes a while to adjust to our longer nights. I'm thankful we are doing this tour during the summer because I'm ready for him to experience school the way I did, except for the parts that I didn't like. Cold hands clamp around my leg. I look down to find Elle looking up at me. I smile at her, only to be rewarded with the biggest smile I've ever seen. Who knew after one sleepless night that we'd be friends? I crouch down so that I'm level with her. Quinn stands tall, my hand set on the back of his leg so he can more or less hold me up. I'm too exhausted to trust myself not to fall over.
I saw you throw your sticks lots of times.
You did? Did you remember that I was doing it for you? Elle nods.
Peyton didn't care, though. She didn't watch the show.
It's okay. Maybe she'll watch next time. I look over at Peyton, who is standing in the corner with arms crossed over her chest. She looks up, her face stoic, when the door opens again. Noah runs up to Liam and Josie, and Elle waves at her mom. It doesn't go unnoticed that neither girl is running to her. I can see the heartbreak roll over her face. I want to pull her into my arms and tell her that everything will be okay. But that would be crossing so many lines that I know she's not ready for. Instead, I do the only thing I know I have a little bit of power over.
I think your mom missed you. Maybe you should go see her,
I whisper into Elle's ear. Elle looks at Caitlin and says,
You think?
I nod. Yeah, I think so. Elle takes off and launches herself into Caitlin's arms. I stand, pulling Quinn's hand into mine, and look at Caitlin, offering her my sincerest apologies. I want to help her, but I'm not sure if I can.
Chapter 8 Caitlin. When the band took their final encore, I felt like I could finally breathe. As the guys left the stage, I wanted to clap like I was a fan, but held back. I'm so proud of Liam, and seeing this side of him is amazing. He performs with such confidence, just like he did on the football field. I have no doubt he could have done either and been successful. Liam and Jimmy pass me as if I'm nothing more than a common employee. I know that I am, but it still stings. I can't forget that I'm at their beck and call, not the other way around. I wait for Harrison, and I hate that my body shivers in anticipation that he'll be close again. It shouldn't feel like this. My body belongs to Mason. I belong to Mason. The lights go on, and still no Harrison. I look out and see people moving out of their seats. I take a deep breath and step out onto the stage, ready to face Harrison and encourage him to get backstage. I look at his drum set. Empty. He's already gone, and I missed him. Why do I care that I missed him? I don't. Or maybe I do, and I can't bring myself to admit that when he's in the room, the chaos doesn't exist. That watching him hold Elle the other night not only hurt, but gave me hope that my girls will heal. And if I can't help them, someone else can and is willing to step up and do it. He didn't have to hold her all night and sleep in an uncomfortable chair. But he did, and I couldn't even thank him for it. Opening the door to the kids' room, I stand there. Noah is with Liam and Josie, gushing about what he just saw his dad do. Quinn is with Harrison, who is on bended knee and talking with Elle. Peyton, my very sweet and angry child, is in the corner standing defiantly. And no one knows I'm here, except Harrison. There is a glint in his eye, and I think he's remembering when I touched him earlier. I didn't mean to. At least, I don't think I did. It felt natural to put my hand on his back and wish him good luck. He leans in and whispers something in Elle's ear, and whatever it is causes her to break into a dead sprint toward me. My arms are out before she jumps into them. I hug her tightly, but feel empty. I look over at Peyton and wave her over to me, but she ignores me. Doesn't she know my arms feel empty without both my girls in them?
Mommy, did you watch the concert?
Her exuberance pleases me. I want them to enjoy this adventure and not beg to go home. I'm liking my job, aside from Liam's outburst earlier, and don't want to give it up. But if they aren't happy, I will.
I did. Did you watch it?
Oh, yes, and we could feel the music through the walls. My heart was pounding so fast.
Mine, too.
I put her down and hold her hand in mine. We walk over to Peyton, who turns away from us.
Hey, Peyton. Are you ready to go?
She shrugs.
Elle, why don't you go get your things ready while I talk to Peyton?
I kiss her on her cheek and watch as she walks away. She has a spring in her step, and I wonder if she's even coping with Mason's death, or if Peyton is right. Elle's mine, whereas Peyton and Mason were attached at the hip. I reach out and pull Peyton's hand into mine. She tries to jerk away, but I don't allow her to. I don't want to be stern with her, but if I need to, I'll do what I must to make her understand that she's mine too, with or without Mason. Did you watch Uncle Liam on stage?
No.
Her response is sharp. Why not?
I don't care.
That's not true. I bend down and try to look at Peyton, but she refuses to make eye contact with me. Peyton, you can talk to me about everything you're thinking.
No, I can't, because you'll cry.
She's right. I will. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't cry for Mason. I'll try not to cry, but I miss your dad just like you and Elle do. It's hard, but things are getting better. We're on this trip with all our friends, and we're going to go to Disney World. Uncle Liam is doing a lot to help us heal. Don't you think we should at least try? She shakes her head and turns so I can only see her back. Her hand comes up and swipes at her face. It breaks my heart to see her cry and not be able to do anything for her. I look over my shoulder and offer Liam what probably looks like a grimace. When I stand, he pulls me into his arms.
"She'll come around,"
he whispers into my ear so no one else can hear him. I nod and rest my head on his shoulder. He kisses me softly on the cheek and leaves me to tend to my heartbroken child. I run my hand through her long brown hair, twisting her curls with my fingers when I get to the ends. I love her curls. Both she and Elle have been blessed with such beautiful hair. Women pay big bucks for this look. Come on, sweetie. I pick her up and hold her in my arms. I don't know what to do, but I feel like a total failure of a mother. Elle is ready and waiting with everyone, holding Harrison's hand. I want to laugh at the sheer difference between the two of them. There stands a man, with his excessively tattooed arms, holding hands with a petite wannabe cheerleader. Holding his other hand is his son. When you look at Quinn, you can tell that he belongs to a drummer by the way he dresses, with his red velvet jacket, the collar up, and his black pants. He's a smaller version of Harrison, and already carries himself full of confidence. But my Elle, she's opposite, prissy almost, always in a dress with her hair done just right. She'd wear makeup if I'd let her. This unlikely trio is like night and day, and I'm on the outside watching as this man develops a relationship with my daughter. Sometimes it makes me want to scream, and sometimes I want to be thankful that she's okay talking to him, or anyone for that matter, because I just don't have the answers for her right now. I don't even have the answers for Peyton, who needs me the most. Harrison looks over his shoulder and smiles at me. For the first time, I don't hesitate and smile back. Maybe we can be friends. Nothing more, though. He's not my type, and I love my husband, whether he's here to love me back or not. I follow everyone out and onto the bus. Peyton hasn't moved. Her hands are locked tight around my neck. If I let go, she'd hang off me like a monkey. I'm tempted to try this, but that was something Mason did with the girls. He let them climb all over him and never tell them to get down. It didn't matter what he was doing, even if he was watching football. The girls acted like he was a jungle gym.
Girls, get down! Your dad is trying to scout the game.
They're fine, babe.
No, they aren't. You have work to do.
And I'm doing it, see?
Mason holds up his pen and notepad and points to the TV, where the game film is running on loop. Peyton and Elle are climbing all over him, hanging from his arms. It doesn't faze him, but it does me. I don't want to see him get angry with them for bugging him while he's working. I'll take them to the store with me.
Why?
Because they are bugging you. Mason sets down his pad and pulls each girl off of him. He stands and comes over to me, pulling me into his arms.
Are you jealous of your daughters?
What? No. Why would I be? Mason shrugs.
I don't know. I have two very gorgeous brunettes showering me with attention, and my very sexy wife trying to make them stop. I think you want to hang on me for a while.
I bite my lip to stop the smirk forming and shake my head.
You're impossible. Mason kisses my neck, working his way to my ear.
I love you, Mrs. Powell, and I love those two girls right over there. If they are bugging me, I'll ask for help. I'd honestly like for you to come sit in between my legs and help me work.
I push him slightly. You're incorrigible.
You love me.
I do, more than anything. I wish I had a camera at the time to capture those moments between Mason and the girls. I'm not sure I ever thought to take a picture when they were climbing all over him or sitting on his lap while he was scouting. So many memories that I've missed, and I'll never get back, or be able to show the girls just how great their dad was. I'm relishing the fact that she's letting me hold her for so long. I don't want to put Peyton down. I want to cuddle with her until she feels safe enough to open up. Josie's right. The girls need to speak to someone about what they're dealing with. Clearly, I'm not enough, and I need to be okay with that. I sit down on the couch and immediately regret it. She's out of my arms faster than I can ask her to stay. She goes to Noah and sits down. He doesn't acknowledge her, but Quinn does. I can't hear what they are talking about, but Peyton smiles, and Noah rolls his eyes. The bus roars to life, and the kids all cheer. They should be sleeping, but tour life doesn't allow for normal hours. We'll drive for a few hours before getting to our hotel, where we'll stay for a few days and take the kids to Disney World. This will be a first for Noah, Peyton, and Elle. This was something Mason and I had talked about many times, and I hate that he's not here to share it with us. Liam sits down next to me and hands me a bottle of water.
I'm sorry for yelling at you earlier. I get a bit stressed, and the flowers, they set me off.
It's okay.
No, it's not,
he says as he shakes his head. I watch as he downs the bottle of water in one gulp. I've always wondered how he and Mason could do that. I'd choke if I tried. It is. I just don't want to be fired. Liam laughs.
I couldn't fire you if I wanted.
Yeah? Why's that? He looks around and his eyes land on Harrison, who is talking with the kids not a few feet away from us.
He'd kill me.
I shake my head. I know Liam and Josie think he'd be a good fit for me, but I don't. We have nothing in common. You need to stop.
Stop what?
He asks nonchalantly. Trying to fix us up. He's not my type. Liam leans back and puts his arm on the back of the couch. He grins so brightly when Josie comes down the aisle. He loves her just like Mason loved me. I can see it in the way he looks at her.
Am I Josie's type?
Of course. Liam looks at me questioningly.
Seriously? Look at me, with my tattoos, motorcycle, and music. This is not the Liam that she fell in love with. That Liam was a football star. He woke up every morning and ate some gross protein shit. He worked out during and after school. He was football. Now look at him. He's the exact opposite of who she fell in love with.
What's your point?
My point is that you fell in love with Mason when you were 15. He's all you've ever known. Who's to say that he wouldn't have gotten a tattoo when he entered the NFL? Would you have loved him any less? Probably not, I'm guessing. Thing is, Caitlin, love doesn't know the way someone looks. Love knows the inside of who that person is. I'm not saying you need to fall in love with Harrison or Joe Smith, but I don't want to see you pass up what's in front of you. I'm not saying you have to get over Mason, but just open your eyes a little and see what's out there. You're young and beautiful, and some man is going to be so lucky to be by your side.
It's not that easy.
You're right. It's not. I looked for 10 years for a way to replace Josie and failed. You can't replace Mason even if you tried. But you can find some happiness in love, if you allow yourself to.
You make it sound so easy. Liam laughs.
I'm not telling you to jump into bed with someone. I'm just suggesting that you start looking around and think about becoming friends with a few new people. You're the one who told me Harrison isn't your type.
I cover my face with my hands while he laughs beside me. What is wrong with me? I'm married, even if my husband isn't around. I can't just start over with another man. Life isn't supposed to work that way.
Just so you know, Harrison hasn't had a real girlfriend since Quinn was born. He's just as shy as you are.
Liam stands, and I watch as he scoops Josie up and sits her down on his lap. They are disgustingly happy, and it makes me sick because I used to be like that, and everything in me is telling me I can be like that again. I just don't know how, or if I can ever bring myself to enjoy the company of another man again. I'm not sure I'd ever get past feeling like I'm betraying Mason. I look over at my girls and smile. I have them. I don't need a man to make me feel complete as a woman. I stand and go over to them. Elle smiles at me and Peyton stares at me, knowing that I'm about to call it a night for them. Come on, girls. It's late and we need sleep. Peyton huffs and rolls her eyes. I don't want to be difficult with her, but she's pushing the limits with her attitude.
You too, Noah,
Liam says. He obeys, putting the controller from his video game down. Quinn follows, stopping to give his dad a hug and kiss. It's not something I see from boys, but Quinn does it. Josie follows me to the rooms. She goes one way with the boys, and I go the other with the girls. I tuck them in once they're changed. Our bedtime routine has changed with us being on the road. It's just an adventure, I remind myself. When we get home, everything will be somewhat normal again. I kiss both girls and tell them that I love them. Elle returns the sentiment, but Peyton just rolls over and faces the wall. I love you, Peyton, I say again. Okay. I lay down with her and pull her to my chest. My hand rests next to her face. Her pillow is wet. I can't help her. I can't make her pain go away. I'm so sorry, my sweet baby. I whisper in her ear and hold her tighter. It doesn't take long for her to drift off to sleep. Her light snores echo in the confined space. I kiss her softly on her cheek and do the same for Elle. With a deep breath, I leave their room and pray that the demons stay away from Peyton for just one night.
Chapter 9. Harrison. I've never wanted to be a fly on the wall until tonight, while watching Liam talk to Caitlin. I wanted to know what he was saying. I tried not to lean forward and listen, but I caught myself doing just that a few times. When Josie sat down and started talking about inconsequential things, I wanted to kindly ask her to be quiet so I could maybe hear what Liam was saying. But I didn't. The bus is quiet. I hate quiet. I need noise to feel at ease. Everyone's gone to bed except for me and JD, although being asleep in the chair is close enough. I pull out my phone and push the button for GPS. We are still a few hours away from our hotel, but there's not enough time for it to matter if I sleep now or later. The plan is to take an early morning nap at the hotel before we hit the theme parks in the afternoon. I'm excited about going to Disney, mostly because I'm looking for any excuse I can get to be close to Caitlin. I know she's struggling with Peyton. I've racked my brain trying to think of ways I can help, but short of finding a spell to raise the dead, I'm no use. Not that I'd actually do that. I thought that Quinn might be the answer, but he's never known his mom, so it's hard to say he's been there. A door shuts quietly behind me. I turn and see Caitlin coming down the aisle. She's dressed in an oversized T-shirt, and for my sake, I hope she has shorts on underneath, because all I can see are her legs, and they are very bare. I have to bite the inside of my cheek in order to keep my mouth closed. I wish I knew how to talk to her and a way to get her to open up. Since moving to Beaumont, I haven't given another woman a second chance. With Caitlin, I'm not only giving her a second one, but a third, fourth, and fifth whenever she's in the room. I could live a day without water if I was granted the permission just to stare at her. I can't look up and make eye contact with her, even though it's probably the right thing to do. My eyes follow the steps she takes as she passes me. I wonder if she's sleepwalking, or if I'm even awake. Maybe I'm dreaming and she's not really here, standing in my general vicinity, half-naked. I swallow hard once she sits down and tucks her legs underneath her. Does she not see me sitting here? Of course she doesn't. I'm invisible. I need to find a way for her to see me, the real me, on the inside, and not the graffitied man she sees when she looks at me. I see the way she looks at my arms. I have no doubt that the wheels are turning in her head, wondering why someone would cover their arms with ink. All she has to do is ask, and I'll tell her. I'm an open book once she cracked my cover. I clear my throat, but that doesn't get her attention. What the hell? Hi, I say loud enough to cause JD to adjust in the chair. I wish he'd wake up and leave now that she's here. I want to bask in her presence without an audience.
Hi.
Her reply is soft, quiet. Is she afraid to wake up the log sawing machine? I look over at JD and shake my head. Sorry, he's not usually like this.
It's okay.
At least she's answering me. It means that she's actually awake, although I'm not sure I am. I look back at her and see that she's rubbing her arms. She's cold. I get up and go to the closet and pull out a blanket. Sitting down, I unfold it and lay it on top of her.
Thank you.
I nod. Why are you up? She looks up at me. Her eyes are sharp.
Do you want me to leave?
I swallow hard, catching myself from squeaking out an answer.
No, not at all.
It's just that it's late. Or early, depending on how you look at things. I thought I was the only one still functioning.
I couldn't sleep. What's your excuse?
This is the most she's spoken to me since I've met her. I have a hard time unwinding after a show, especially when I know we're stopping soon. Caitlin looks at me but doesn't say anything. No acknowledgement or anything. The awkward silence follows. It shouldn't, because I have so many things I want to ask her. Actually, that's not true. I know what her favorite color is, her favorite food, and how she takes her coffee. I've paid attention these past few months, learning how she functions, and what makes her tick. I don't know what to say or do. This is where I fail. This is where I've had my status as a drummer work to my benefit. Most women I've gone home with don't care about what's on my mind or how I like my coffee. They aren't looking for a meaningful conversation. They just want one thing. I don't want that with Caitlin. I don't want her to be someone that I just bring home when the urge is there. Because with her even breathing, the urge is there. I want to know her, inside and out. I want to learn how to fall in love with her as my partner. I can't keep staring at her, or off into space. I don't know how to proceed. I don't want to push her into talking to me. I pick up my book and flip to the page where I left off. The words blur in my mind. I'm not going to make heads or tails of these pages as long as she's sitting one cushion away from me. Caitlin adjusts and lets out a long sigh. I close the book, setting it back down on the floor. Do you want to talk about it? She shakes her head.
I don't know how you do it.
Do what?
Race Quinn by yourself.
I turn and face her, but keep my eyes focused on the outside. Sometimes I wish I wasn't raising him by myself. I know there are things that only a mom can do, but I try to be both. I've read a lot of books on how to be an effective parent and provide him with the right tools, but it's hard. I'm the only parent he knows. Our situations are different. He didn't lose his mom the way you and the girls lost Mason.
Where's his mom?
I shrug. I don't know.
How can you not know? Doesn't she call?
I shake my head. My finger starts playing with my lip as I process her question. His mom? She showed up one day and just left him on my living room floor. He was 3 days old.
Wow. Why didn't you marry her before all of this happened?
It's not going to matter how I answer this question. She's going to see me as the quintessential rocker who sleeps around. I couldn't be farther from that image. I shake my head and let out a small growl in frustration. I cover my face with my hands, rubbing my hat back and forth. Quinn is a product of a one-night stand.
So...
She starts to interrupt me,
but I hold up my hand, asking her to stop. I need to have this all out so there's no misunderstanding. His mom drugged me. After a show, we went to the bar, and I've never been much of a drinker, but that night I got hammered. I remember waking up with her, but I don't remember anything else. A few months later, she knocks on my door with a car seat carrier and kept calling him it. She clearly didn't want him, and honestly, neither did I.
What did you do?
Called my mom and told her I was in trouble.
Hi, honey.
Mom? My voice breaks as I call out for her.
What's wrong?
I'm in trouble.
Are you at home?
Yeah.
I'm on my way.
She hangs up, but I don't move. My phone is glued to my ear, listening to the silence on the other end. The baby. It whimpers. I look at the contraption it's in, and mentally tick off the seconds it takes my mom to get to my place. I'm afraid it's going to start crying. I don't like crying. I'll have to leave the room if it does. My front door swings open, banging against the table that my mom placed there. She said it was decorative and added character, but apparently now it's a doorstopper.
Harrison, what's wrong?
I love my mom, along with my sister. She's my best friend and my confidant. She's standing in front of me, her eyes full of worry. I point and she looks behind her before looking back at me. Her eyes squint, and I see the confusion written all over her face.
Why on earth would you ever offer to babysit?
I shake my head. I didn't.
Is there a baby in that car seat?
I nod. The mom just left it here.
It?
She didn't say...
Oh, Harrison.
My mom gasps as she removes the blanket that has been covering the baby. She bends down and does something with her hands, and before I know it, she's holding the baby against her shoulder. She starts rocking back and forth, patting the baby's back.
What's his name?
His? I shrug. Don't know.
How can you not know?
I stand and start pacing. The mom? His mom just dropped him off. She left him here.
When will she be back?
I shake my head, pulling at the ring in my bottom lip. I look at my mom. My brows furrow. She said... I point to the baby. Is mine.
Yours?
I nod, biting my cheek.
You have a son. What did your mom do?
I lean back and get comfortable. If Caitlin wants to know about my past, I'm going to tell her. I'll say anything just to keep her talking. She mimics my position. The blanket slips, showing me more leg than she probably intends. Flashes of my hand caressing her leg play in my mind. My fingers itch to touch her. To feel her against my skin would be heaven. My hand clutches the back of the couch to keep myself seated. I don't trust myself not to lunge across the open space and press my lips to hers.
Harrison?
I snap out of my fantasy when she says my name, wishing it was more reality than anything. I just need a sign from her. Anything to show me that she might be at least interested in getting to know the real me. Yeah?
What did your mom do?
She moved in and taught me how to care for a baby. She lived with us for about a year, until I hired a full-time nanny.
Where's Quinn's nanny now?
I let her go when we moved to Beaumont.
Oh,
she says. She rests her head on the back side of the couch. She looks tired. I wish I could offer her a place to sleep. On my chest. I could hold her in my arms, rub her back until she falls asleep. I'd never let go. I'd never let her nightmares haunt her. I can make things better for her. When her eyes close, that's my cue. we're done talking. I pick up my book and start reading again. I need something to keep my hands occupied, or I might end up doing something I regret. I see her shiver out of the corner of my eye. I grab another blanket and drape it over her. I can't resist. I sit down next to her. Her legs are bent just enough to give me space. My fingers brush her hair away from her face, just like I did earlier. I'm not imagining it when she leans into my hand. I stay there and relish in how her cheek feels against my palm. I drop my hand, feeling like a creeper. She doesn't like me the way I like her. I shouldn't be touching her while she sleeps. She'd hate me if she knew. With my elbows pushing into my thighs, I rest my head in my hands. I'm so screwed. There's no way someone like Caitlin will give me the time of day. I need to find a way to get over her, and fast, before the pain is too much to take when she finally decides to start dating again. I look down when I feel something brush against my thigh. It's her hand. I look at her and deduce that she's dreaming. She has to be. She'd never willingly touch me like this. I pick up her hand and gently lay it across her waist. My hand lingers longer than necessary, but I can't help it. Her fingers link with mine. I know I stop breathing while I wait for her to wake and freak out. There's no way I'm pulling my hand away, even though I know it's wrong. She has to be dreaming about her husband, not me. I slide my hand out from under hers, thankful that she doesn't wake. I need to get away from her and fast. As much as I'd love to take advantage of this sleeping beauty, it's not enough that I want to ruin any chance I have with her, if ever.
Chapter 10. Caitlin. I want to kill Josie. Okay, maybe not kill, but maim in the worst way. I don't even think she means well. I think she's evil and cold-hearted because all I want to do is sleep. I don't think that's too much to ask. But apparently my presence is required at dinner, which according to her will be followed by dancing. I don't want to dance. I have no one to dance with. Does she really think I'm going to bump and grind with some stranger? I drag my brush through my hair angrily. This is the last thing I want to do. A night of sleep in a hard hotel bed ranks higher than a night out. I balked at first, told her there isn't anyone to watch the girls. But of course, she had a babysitter all lined up. There is no getting out of going out, no matter how hard I try. Slipping into the red cocktail dress she had sent up, I step into a pair of overpriced peep-toed shoes, also a gift from her. I want to wring her neck. She knows how I feel about gifts, especially when they are expensive. I really want to send them back to her with a giant no thank you, but I don't want to look ungrateful. I know she does this because she loves me and Liam encourages her. Both of them together are going to cause me to go gray long before I'm due. Today was supposed to be the beginning of an epic 3-day adventure. When we pulled into the hotel, the kids were so worn out, all they wanted to do was lay by the pool. Jimmy was all too happy to take them, only for me to find out that he used my girls as a single dad ruse to pick up chicks. In hindsight, I should have listened to Harrison when he told me not to let the girls go. But who is he to tell me such a thing? I sent the girls on their way to a smirking Harrison and a laughing Liam. Jerks. Now my girls are lounging in the kid room, as Liam calls it, with a highly paid babysitter, all giddy about babysitting Liam Page's son. I'm sure she's telling the world on her many social networking apps instead of actually watching the kids. I look in the mirror and touch up my makeup. I'm stalling. Maybe I'm dragging out my arrival so they'll think I've ditched and spent a childless night holed up with a good book. Josie won't let that happen, though. With a deep and reserved breath, I make my way up to the top floor. Who knew Disney would have an adult area in their kid-themed hotel? The decor is black and polished. I could probably see my reflection clearly if I wanted to stand there and stare. Music is thumping, but it's not loud in the restaurant area. A hostess leads me to my dinner party, the party that I plan to poison before the night is over. I round a corner, and my eyes are immediately drawn to him, sitting with his arm resting on the back of the booth. His leg is half hanging off the bench. He's wearing dark jeans and a dark hoodie, and his head is covered, like always. Why does he do that? It makes me think that his head is scarred or deformed. He didn't wear the hat during the concert. I only found this out after looking through some press pictures. I missed a perfectly good opportunity to see him without his hat on, and I won't let that happen again. My steps seem faster as I walk up to the table with a fake smile on my face. As much as I want to glare at Josie, my eyes fall onto Harrison. He sits up, slowly, his green eyes looking more alive with the colors coming from the dance floor, never leave mine. What does he see when he looks at me? Does he see what I see? Does he see a single mom with two very young girls? A woman so broken and in pain because her husband was taken from her far too early? No, probably not. I'm guessing he sees his next conquest, and that is something I'll never be. My body flushes under his gaze. I try to look away, but my eyes fail me. His lips twitch as he tries not to smile. Perspiration pebbles on my neck, and my heart races as he watches me. I want to run out of here screaming, but I'm frozen to the floor. I reach out and hold the edge of the table to steady myself. I must be coming down with the flu. "I thought you'd never show up," Josie says. When I can finally look at her, she has a wicked smile on her face. Liam tries not to chuckle as he leans in and kisses her on the cheek. Harrison leans forward, resting his mouth against his hands. I can't tell if he knew about this or not. Either way, I'm not amused. "I'm sure if I didn't, you would have just come to my room and pulled me out kicking and screaming." "So dramatic, Caitlin. We're going to have a nice, comfortable adult dinner," Josie says with a wave of her hand. Am I being dramatic? I can't help but think they're trying to put us in these uncomfortable situations. Must we spend every waking minute together? We work together, and now I'm on tour with the band, and he's everywhere I am, and when he's not, Liam and Josie are in my ear about him. "Sure we are," I say, as I take the only available seat next to Harrison. My intent is to sit on the edge, an easy escape, but that doesn't happen. When I sit, my leg brushes against Harrison's, and as hard as I try, I can't move it. If I were to move now, it would be rude. The booths are a bit on the small side, after all. The waitress takes our order. For the first time since I lost Mason, I order an alcoholic drink. Maybe it will help me relax and enjoy the night. Now that I'm here, the idea of having an adult night is somewhat appealing. "We're going to dance later," Josie says when she catches me eyeing the dance floor. I shake my head. I haven't danced in such a long time.
"It's like riding a bike,"
Harrison says. I turn to find him gazing at me with such intent in his eyes. It's been almost a year since I've seen a similar look. When Mason would look at me like that from across the room, I knew what to expect, but not so much when Harrison does it. I look back at Liam and Josie, who are watching us like hawks. Liam shakes his head and whispers something into Josie's ear. Whatever he says makes her beam with appreciation. I've never seen her happy like this, at least not with Nick. She was always content and just went with the flow. But now, she's bouncing off the walls with excitement all the time. I want that.
"So, the reason we are here tonight, besides having an adult night, is that Liam and I have a very important question to ask you."
I pick up my Cosmopolitan and tip back the glass. I should probably sip the sweet liquor, but I need something to take the edge off. I'm so tired of feeling like I'm about to fall off the side of a building.
"What is it?"
Harrison asks as he tips his beer back.
"Well, we've set a date,"
Josie squeals. My mouth drops and Harrison starts laughing. He reaches over the table and high-fives Liam. I scramble to get out of the booth so I can hug Josie.
"I'm so happy for you," I say into her ear as we hug.
I wish Mason was here to see this. He wanted nothing more than for her to be happy, even if it meant she was marrying Nick. I'd like to think he'd be happy that she's marrying Liam, because they are meant to be together. We sit back down, and I wipe a few happy tears that have fallen. I can't wait to see Noah in a tux,
He's going to look so handsome and dapper. When's the big day?
We want to get married right after Christmas, but we're keeping this among friends,
Liam answers without taking his eyes off of Josie. Well, that doesn't give us a lot of time.